We sit there laughing, sharing stories, and rejoicing in each other's accomplishments. Food was brought, we gave thanks, and we began feasting on the treasures that lie before us. Nice, fat, juicy burgers and crispy onion rings, complimented with a Coca-Cola. An exquisite lunch, if I might say so myself. There the three of us sit, a flourishing businessman, a thriving priest, and a fervent seminarian, discussing the splendors and blessings of our lives. As we navigated life's junctures, our conversation came to a crossroads. Taking a bite out of his burger, the businessman proclaimed, "You know, we don't have to go to church." The priest responded, "No, but people come when they want to be buried." I sat there shocked, reeling for words to respond, to somehow defend God. I kept silent. While I recognized my friends had made these brief comments without much thought, there was a dissonance that lingered with me. The experience crept through my mind for a couple of days, badgering me like a pesky gnat. Unsatisfied with their answers, I kept questioning the significance of church. Coming back to the question, why do I come to church? Why do we come to church? Why do you come to church? This is a question that the church has been divided over for centuries, with answers ranging from evading the inferno of hell, to hedging the risk of our moral life, to becoming the best individuals we can be. All perfectly reasonable answers. As I tussled with this question, I found peace in my two friends' answers. In fact, they were absolutely right. In case you're not aware of it, the secret's out. As Paul proclaims in this morning's epistle, now, my brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ, our mediator and advocate, has been raised from the dead. Death has no more dominion. Salvation, eternal life, is ours. It is the best wholesale you've ever found, absolutely free. And all we have to do is to live our life, recognizing that when we die, if we choose, the church will be here to bury us. There you have it. So why are we here today? Why leave the peaceful confines of our beds, the cozy sheets, and come here? Today's Old Testament lesson gives us a glimpse into the story of a man named Job. We all know the story of Job. A righteous man falls terribly ill and then systematically loses everything that he loves, that he's worked for, that he's cared about. Our glimpse this morning into this profound story reveals the harsh realities of the tensions and complexities that we live in here in God's kingdom. As Job seeks answers from God, much to Job's displeasure, and to mine for that matter, God returns answers in the form of rhetorical questions that leave Job, that leave us with the dissatisfaction of unanswered questions. Job is forced to admit the limits of his human knowledge and understanding, illuminating the complex realities of life's journey. Job's story is one that we can all in some way or another relate to, having at some point experienced the chaos of life's storms. the death of a loved one, sickness, injury, job loss, failure. Events that leave us all with unanswered questions. Why then come to church if there's nothing that we can do to prevent the chaos of life in this world? Why? Why come to church? Is there a correct answer to this question? Is this a question that we even think to ask ourselves? And if so, do we dare allow ourselves the permission to truthfully answer it? Why do we come to church? Unanswered questions humbly lead us here to share our stories, to share the narratives of our lives, weathered as they are by life's disappointments, failures, and tragedies. It is in this place that we come seeking to connect our stories with the eternal story, the never-ending story of God, of Jesus. The story that encompasses, illustrates, and holds all of our questions. This is what we do as Christians. We share our stories. And in sharing our stories, we engage in a holy dialogue that is consummated in the Paschal mystery. The mystery that embraces life's hardships, life's struggles, life's sufferings, and life's unanswered questions. Sharing our stories guides us deeper into ourselves, deeper into the chaotic mystery of our lives, and deeper into the mystery that governs our very being. Where we quickly realize that our questions often do not lead to neat, concrete, or rational answers. And you know what? That's okay. Because if we allow them to, our questions can lead us into a deeper awareness of the mysteries of the God that we struggle to understand. The God who calms the storms of our life. This is what Job, this is what we are invited to discover. Through the whirlwind of life that constantly surrounds us, and through the clouds of unknowing that require us to give up our intellectual pride. My brothers and sisters, Jesus never says there's nothing to be afraid of, that life will be a walk in the park. This morning's gospel highlights this as the disciples sit terrified. Yes, terrified. Great awe doesn't describe terrified in the boat, having just experienced the threshold of death and divine interaction. No, Jesus never says that there's nothing to be afraid of. What he does say, though, is why? Why are you afraid? Why? Simply asking us to believe, to see beyond the confines of our narrow perspectives, and to just trust. Regardless if it makes sense or not, to just trust in the unbelievable power of God. As theologian Richard Rohr points out, it is in this place that we come again and again to find our face, to find our name and our absolute identity in God. And this is a process that takes years to sink in. For the truth is too big for any one moment, too grand, too wonderful for our small hearts and minds. As we continually come back to this place on this great journey of faith, we are to recognize that we cannot navigate around the storms of our lives. No, they will come. But we also have to recognize that in the midst of the chaos, Jesus is there with us. The body of Christ is here with us. And our responsibility is to cultivate this awareness, a process which takes time, that takes worship, that takes prayer and study, and takes the sharing of our stories. All this considered, we don't have to come here to this place. We don't have to come here to this place. God is with us at every step we take in our journey, through every storm and transition, every up and down, until that last day when we reach the harbor of His loving embrace. Why is it then that we come here? Why do we come here to Holy Innocence? Why do we come to church? I hope that you will take this summer to explore this question, to pray for an answer, to have faith in sharing your story with the rest of us, regardless of what it looks like in its circumstances, to share your story as we, the body of Christ here at Holy Innocence, seek to cultivate the kingdom of God.